Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning as we continue in the Easter season. Special welcome to those of you joining us from home. It is a blessing that we can be one body of Christ together, even beyond geographic distance. I invite all who are able to stand and turn toward the font as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our thanksgiving for baptism. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claimed us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. grace of the risen Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Please be seated and prepare your hearts, minds, and ears to hear the Word of God.
The first reading is from Acts 2. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the people. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments, and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from 1 Peter 1. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
I invite all who are able to stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now on that same day, Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene. Two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. While he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has indeed risen, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Glad the choir didn't have to memorize a lot of words in that song they sang. It was beautiful. I have to say that this is one of my favorite post-resurrection stories, because to me, it's so relatable. I can identify with these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Whether or not we acknowledge it, most of us, and I'd venture to say all of us, know what it is to experience overwhelming grief. We know what it is to have our hopes dashed by events beyond our control. And surely these two disciples, like them, we too often have difficulty recognizing the risen Christ in our midst. With eyes downcast, overcome with grief, they did a pretty good job of summarizing for the stranger the recent events that had happened in Jerusalem. They recounted for him the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And they told him how their chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned. And they crucified him. And then they lamented, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." And it wasn't until the stranger took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them that their eyes were open and they recognized him. Like I said, I can relate to this story, and I am confident that you can as well. First of all, there's that part about overwhelming grief. Grief comes whenever a loved one dies. Whether the death comes suddenly and unexpectedly or painfully slow after a long illness, death interrupts life. It squelches dreams. And in the wake of death, grief comes to us in waves. Our eyes are often clouded over by the rivers of tears we've shed. It causes restless nights, often filled with our doubts and our fears. It can shake the ground beneath us, as well as the foundation of our faith. The loss of a loved one may very well leave us feeling abandoned, alone, angry, brokenhearted, confused, hurt, lost, scared, and even scarred and deeply wounded. Grief can be overwhelming, and surely these disciples knew that firsthand. These disciples also knew what it was to have their hopes dashed. Hope is such a strange concept. Often it too can be confusing. We can hope for something that's so trivial that it's downright embarrassing to even admit to it. And yet still so desired, it can be terribly disappointing and discouraging when it doesn't come to pass or it doesn't play out the way we'd hoped it would. By way of example of the trivial, we might hope to find a good parking spot at the Ducks game. And when the perfect spot seemingly comes and appears out of nowhere, we might even say aloud, "Thank you, Jesus." But do any of us really think the risen Christ is sitting at the right hand of God watching us jockey for that ideal parking spot? I don't think so. Yet not getting what we hoped for can be disconcerting. It can turn our world upside down. I still remember the letdown I felt after interviewing for what I thought was my dream job. It was way back in 1992, and I was not only invited but encouraged to apply for a position with the ELCA. And when they flew me to Chicago, I found out that I was only one of two candidates being interviewed in person. So naturally, I began hoping and even praying that this dream job I longed for would come to pass. Only it didn't. But the next summer, I started down an entirely different path, the path toward ordination into Word and Sacrament ministry. And looking back, I'd have to say that in spite of feeling and that feeling of being rejected and terribly disappointed at the time, in the end, it turned out far better than I could even have dreamed or imagined. And ever since, I've felt so blessed to serve Christ's church and to love God's people. That includes all of you and those from home. That door closed for me that day. And yet something opened up that was far beyond my wildest imagination, and I knew in my heart that it was God's plan for me all along. Yet, to be perfectly candid, that experience doesn't even come close to what those two disciples must have felt after they recognized the risen Christ in their midst. They may have hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel, but what they got was far beyond anything they could have imagined. Because when they arrived at their destination and welcomed this stranger into their home, the risen Christ soon became their host rather than their guest. And in the blessing and breaking of the bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus and they realized that he had indeed been raised from the dead. We're told it was only when they were looking back that they realized their hearts were burning within them while he was on the road with them, while he was opening up the scriptures to them. Nevertheless, once their eyes were opened, they couldn't wait to tell the others what had happened to them. Now, I know we may be tempted to question how it is that they did not recognize Jesus in the first place. After all, it's clear that they had been followers of Jesus. It's clear they knew what had happened to him in Jerusalem. They may have even been at the crucifixion. Why did they not recognize Jesus? We may ponder on that question, and yet it's difficult for us sometimes to recognize Jesus in our midst as well. Yet in faith we proclaim that where two or three are gathered together in Christ's name, Christ is in our midst. In faith we proclaim that Christ is truly present in, with, and under the bread and the wine, and that Christ's body and blood is given for us and for all people, not just the redemption of Israel, for all people, all of creation. And it's given for the forgiveness of sin and life everlasting. Our faith teaches us that whenever we feed those who are hungry, give drink to those who are thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the sick, or visit the imprisoned, whenever we do these acts of mercy and compassion to the least of these, we do so unto Christ. Our faith teaches us that in baptism we are grafted onto the body of Christ, named and claimed a beloved child of God. And in faith we proclaim that if we die with Christ in a baptism like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So whenever you find yourself overwhelmed by grief, or your hopes are dashed, my prayer is that your eyes will be opened and you will recognize the risen Christ who is with you, just as he promised. With you always, to the end of the age. And now, as together we carry on the ministry of the risen Christ, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please be seated. United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Ever-present God, you make yourself known in the breaking of the bread and in the bonds of community. Reveal yourself to us in the faces of all we meet. Strengthened by your body and blood, let us boldly live out your good news. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we know you in the breaking of bread, we know you in the grains of the field and the flowing waters. Care for the earth you lovingly create. As we celebrated Earth Day this past week, strengthen and empower us all to be good stewards of your fragile creation. Guide us in seeing the earth and its bounty as your gifts, and aid us in constantly giving thanks for all your gifts to us. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You are the authority to whom we dedicate our lives. Help us keep the needs of those most vulnerable at the forefront of our community. Move us to care for any who are disregarded or oppressed. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for every member of your beloved family. Today, we especially give thanks for Linnea Abbott Pritchard being baptized at the 11 o'clock service. Guide her in your life of grace, faith, and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, you feed and comfort those who hunger. We pray for anyone hungering for your comforting presence this day. Those who are sick, injured, in recovery, isolated, grieving, anxious, or in any pain. This week we pray especially for Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Doug and Jody Martin, Gretchen and Jeff Seamus, Gay and Dal Haverland, and several of the family members of David Joe. We pray for all these we've named aloud, those we hold in our hearts and those known only to you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember with thanksgiving all your beloved saints who have died. As you have raised them to eternal life, abide with us in your promise of resurrection and comfort us in our grief. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of the risen Christ be with you always. Please share that peace with one another. A few brief notes about our life together this week. First is to note, as you see in your bulletin, our new family group forming called Cradle to Crayons. For those with children age 0 to 5, we're organizing a new group for those families. If you have interest in that, please come talk to me about that. Things to be looking forward to: the choir will be singing the Mass on May 7th, to be looking up for that. And in our education hour in May, we'll be having a series on Sunday mornings that are going to be related toward planning for end of life in various ways, but deeply meaningful for all people, no matter how soon or far end of life is. That will be on Sundays in May, led by Pastor Lloyd. With those brief announcements, let us remain seated to receive this morning's offering. us pray. Generous God, in this meal you offer your very self. We give thanks for these gifts of the earth. In the breaking of this bread, reveal to us the risen one. In the pouring of this wine, pour us out in service to the world. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places offer thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Passover Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith, as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For distribution this morning, we'll invite you to come forward to the floor and receive the bread in the form of a wafer that you will then dip into the wine, into the cup. The cup has red wine or white grape juice. All are welcome at the Lord's table. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ who bids you come. invite all who are able to stand. In the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Let us pray. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen. Now receive the benediction. The blessing of the living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit surround and sustain you, keep you from harm, and fill you with courage. Amen. addendum to our life together immediately after service, godly play for children in the godly playroom, and adult education in the library. Go in peace. Serve the risen Christ. Thanks be to God.